5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello and welcome to The On-Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm Abby.
I'm Bree.
It's a beautiful day to podcast. Or what we should have said is, it's a beautiful night to podcast.
It is a beautiful night to podcast, everyone. Welcome to The On-Call Room. We are a Grey's Anatomy podcast. We deep dive every single episode of Grey's Anatomy. Currently, today, we are on season one, episode one.
What?
What is going on? Well, we decided we just finished season 18. If you've been listening along, we've been doing this June what we call palate cleansers,
yes.
Meaning we're not talking about Grey's. We were talking about our own lives.
Ice cream.
Summer.
Yeah.
Just things. And we decided, you know what? It'd be good to touch back to season one, episode one. There's a couple reasons why. Number one, we didn't do a good job. Our pilot episode's not great.
We didn't think anyone would listen.
Yes. So we wanted to come in with kind of some fresh eyes 5 years later, 4 years later.
Five.
Yeah, 5 years later. And watch it and talk about it a little bit, maybe more in depth, maybe give it a better rating than we did before.
For sure.
And then we also are pairing this along with something really cool. So first of all, want to let you know, if you want to support the podcast, you can do so at patreon.com/theoncallroom. There you get different bonus things for being a $2, $5, or $10 patron.
Yes.
If you are a $5 or above patron, you get bonus episodes. And what did we do tonight, Abby?
Well, for the month of June, we did this years ago when we watched the season 6 finale, but we watched the pilot together and we commentated. Mm-hmm. So if you were to press play on the episode, you would also want to be pressing play on the actual pilot episode on Netflix or wherever you watch, a DVD perhaps.
Oh.
And watch it, and we will be reacting as you're watching it.
Right. So in the actual episode that we'll put out as a bonus, once again, you have to be a patron in order to get this. You won't hear the episode in the background. So
Correct.
You would have your AirPods in, or maybe you're having it playing on your phone while it's also on your TV. And then you're watching it kind of alongside us as we live react to it.
Yep. It was actually very fun. It's also nice to watch an episode right before we talk about it.
Yes. Which we used to do in the very beginning.
We did. We ate dinner together,
yeah,
and watched an episode.
But we just found that, you know, and if you end up liking this, listeners, let us know, because maybe there are some really important episodes to you that you'd like us to live react to. Again, we're trying to give some space before we deep dive season 19, because we just watched them. And
yeah, we will have season 19 complete before season 20 starts.
That's
I
right.
feel like that's the only way to survive. But with the writer's strike, I don't even know when that will be.
Right.
So we're giving it some separation before we jump right back in.
Yeah. So I think we're just going to kind of hop right into it. And we're going to do our normal thing that we didn't have yet.
We had literally no structure.
Yes. So this was called A Hard Day's Night. This is season one, episode one. I want to say the air date on this was March 27th, 2005.
Wow. Where were you in March 2005?
I was in high school. So I was living mm-hmm. with my parents.
Mm-hmm. Same, same.
And that's all I remember.
So I graduated in 07.
I was 08.
Yep. So I would have been a sophomore.
So that means I was a freshman. Oh, so I was not well.
I was probably in B lunch.
Oh, I was in C lunch freshman year. Yeah. And I was finding my place in choir.
Oh, yeah. You were always a choir star. I was wearing a tie-dye shirt. Probably.
Absolutely. In love and Jesus.
Yeah. And that. and I was coloring my hair. This could have been my Ashley Simpson phase.
Okay.
I could have had dark brown hair. And this also could have been what I call my goodwill phase, mm-hmm. in which I rebelled against popular fashion and wore, like, I would wear long skirts with like an ASO, which is like a soccer team, like sweatshirt.
I remember like, this.
I don't know what my point was.
You know what? This is actually really interesting. So March 27th of 2005 would have been about the time the Spring musical came out. So this means we actually just met for the first time because this was The Wizard of Oz. Now, we didn't actually become friends until The Music Man the following year. But we knew each other. Like
we were both
munchkins in The Wizard of Oz.
Were you not the tap dancing one with me? I couldn't remember.
No, I was not in the Lollipop Guild.
Okay, no, I couldn't remember. It was so embarrassing.
Well, I really wanted to be, and I wasn't.
I was so embarrassed to sing in that voice.
Well, I was a monkey also. And I remember we stole the show.
Oh, the monkeys were for sure the best. I would have been too embarrassed to be a monkey.
Because there was like five of us and we got these crazy makeup. And my dad was so proud of me. Like,
because you went for it.
Like, he was like, the monkeys were just, well, you guys just stole the show.
Who else was a monkey? Anyone
that? Molly J, I will say. There was... and then there was like this kind of weird gal. I don't remember her name, but she was like the head monkey. Oh, yeah. And I remember she was scary as shit.
She was going for it.
Yeah. And then I think there was maybe like two guys, we crawled on all four.
There was a Laura A, I believe, that was a Lollipop Guild with me and someone else. It wasn't you, Lindsay Hansen, was it? Who was a listener? I don't think so. But
no, but I feel like so I have photos of Lindsay from Wizard of Oz as Munchkins. I think she had a green dress on.
In The Wonderful Land of Oz.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's wild. So when this show aired, we were becoming friends. I remember thinking you were so cool.
I thought you were so cool.
No, I was not. Thank you for thinking that. But we didn't hang out yet, is what you're saying.
No, because it wasn't until Music Man that we really, which was the following year.
I wish I remembered more of us becoming. I know backstage we hung out constantly during Music Man.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. And then I think we became closer friends too, because that's when we finally had a dance class together.
Did dance at that place my senior year.
Oh, so we must have already been friends. Mm-hmm. It's weird. I don't know how we became friends.
It was the plays.
It was, and like you like had these other two friends, but I felt like they did not like me, but you were my friend.
I liked you.
Yeah. Like we were friends.
I was always jealous of you and Reva because I was a part of a trio.
And it's hard to be a part of
it. It's real hard to be a trio, especially when they call you tag along.
Yeah.
As a nickname.
That's not nice.
No, I think that's why I'm in therapy. But anyways, so that is setting the stage of 2005.
Right.
Is just bonkers.
That's where we were at. And as we've talked about before, I will mention that I did not watch the pilot when it came out.
I did not either.
I watched both season one and two on DVD. So I didn't watch either of those live. But then by three, I was watching them live.
Which episode is the ferry boat crash? Which season is
that? That's three.
Okay. That I remember as a cultural moment. Mm-hmm. Like everyone at the lunch table talking about that episode.
Yeah.
But I was still not watching. I believe freshman year of college, which would have been 2007, fall of 2007 is when I started, because I would rent the DVDs from the basement of my dorm.
Right. And I remember my sister got them for Christmas. Ugh. And I was like, and I remember we've talked about this, but I remember the bomb episode and being like,
yes,
hooked. Actually,
that was
I think
Super Bowl episode,
actually,
wasn't it?
I think I remember, I remember watching season two before one. Like I was watching the DVDs of two. And then I was like, oh, I should watch one. And then ever since here we are, and we're on a podcast, and like, you know,
literally, like 18 years later.
Yeah. It's so funny. My one sister was texting the other night. She's like, I don't know what to watch. I don't know what to watch. And you know, summer's hard. There's not a lot of new stuff on. And I'm in a rewatch of Parenthood right now.
Ooh.
And John is like, you've watched this show a million times.
I've only watched it once.
Oh my God, you have to rewatch it.
It was just such an emotional.
It's so emotional.
That's how I feel about Grey's. Honestly, like, you guys have all, I know you watch it continually.
Yeah.
But I feel like I've made it through, and like to go through all of that again feels really like stressful.
But it's so good.
Yeah.
And my sister was like, well, maybe I'll start Grey's. And she literally just finished a rewatch, like maybe a couple weeks ago. And then like a day later, she sent a photo of her TV and it was the pilot episode. She's like, I'm back on for like the millionth time. And it's just so easy to watch.
Yeah.
So, okay.
So this is us watching the pilot.
So I'm going to read the monologue.
Perfect.
All right. The game.
Oh, they say,
they say a person either has what it takes to play or they don't. My mother was one of the greats. Me, on the other hand, I'm kind of screwed. Like I said, I'm screwed. I can't think of any one reason why I want to be a surgeon, but I can think of 1,000 reasons why I should quit. They make it hard on purpose. There are lives in our hands. There comes a moment when it's more than just a game, and you either take the step forward or turn around and walk away. I could quit, but here's the thing. I love playing the field, Meredith Grey. I also wanted to mention that this was written by Shonda Rhimes. The pilot was, of course.
I miss seeing that.
And then for Shotgun Workup, it's very short. It's just Katie Bryce, and she ends up having an aneurysm and subarachnoid hemorrhage.
Perfect. We still never got good at that.
Yeah. Wait, there's Tony.
Who's it directed by?
That's a great question. It is directed by Peter Horton.
Okay.
Should I click this? Will it tell me if it's who if he's directed other ones? Oh, yeah. So he directed season one, Hard Day's Night, The First Cut is the Deepest, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in season two.
Okay.
Including Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer.
Oh, that is an iconic one. Okay, so that deer has come up a lot lately.
Yeah, it really has.
So I have not watched the pilot. Maybe I've seen it once since we recorded our first time watching it, but that's no more than one time.
Okay.
Oh, I think for sure once, because I think I watched it with my mom when I convinced her to start the show. So I've watched it once in 5 years.
Okay.
How many times do you think you've watched it in the last 5 years?
In the last 5 years?
Yeah, since we started the pod.
I would say probably 3.
Okay.
Yeah, not like a gajillion.
And it's not one that I would normally go back.
No. And a lot of the time, I think I've said this before, like, I recently have been doing at night watching some Grey's episodes, but I started in 2.
Got it.
You know, like, so I don't usually go back to 1.
I don't do that in Parks and Rec. I don't do that in The Office. I always, yeah.
Yeah. And then I'll like be through like 2 through 5 and then I'll be like, stop. Yeah. You know, like whatever. Or like it's just season. Sometimes I'm like, I want to see Arizona and Cali in a thing. You know, it just kind of depends. Okay, overall first impressions watching
it. I think it's a great pilot.
I think it is too.
And I think especially the kicker at the end, the Ellis aspect of it is like, there can be a hospital show. Like hospital shows exist, but this gave it like a depth.
Yes.
That is what I feel is missing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's really eye-opening to me to see that Ellis is the first thing mentioned in the first sentence of the monologue.
Yep.
And she's the tail end of this episode. And like, there is so much that it is about her. And I just was very emotionally feeling that last scene with her and Meredith.
I know. I agree. Before maybe we talk about the last scene, first thoughts I felt, number one, Ellen Pompeo looks so young. And I know this was 2005.
Yeah, aging happens. Yeah. I'm not saying she looks
I'm not saying she looks now. Bad now, but like, because Chief honestly looks old. He looks older.
Is very confusing to me. Also, I mean, I'm pretty sure that like Ellen Pompeo is my age when she filmed this pilot, which is crazy.
And Derek looked beautiful.
He looked like how he did in actually, that was probably even later. But what's that princess one with Ella? Not Ella. The Disney
one. Oh, Enchanted?
It kind of gave me like prince vibes. He's just like very shiny.
Yes, very, very shiny.
You see his butt crack.
Yeah, which happy to. Lucky to.
But he's sleeping dick down on a hardwood floor, which I...
You could not believe.
No, because would you put your... Would you lay face first, belly down?
He was probably drunk.
I guess so, but...
Or so worn out from the wonderful sex they had.
I believe you that, like, for sure she didn't have a bed yet. Like, that's why she's on the couch. But I just am dying that he didn't put the blanket first and then lay on the blanket.
Yeah. One of the things I did mention in our watch together, so I'll give a little insight to the bonus episode, but there were sticky notes all around Meredith's house. And I thought that's probably from Alice,
yes,
who couldn't remember things.
Yeah, I think 100%.
Yeah.
The fishing pole, unsure.
Chiefs? We don't know. No. We don't know. So, yeah, overall thoughts, I felt like it was really great.
The opening is great.
Yeah. And I mean, I know, like, I don't know. I feel like it's aged well. Like, it's an old show, but nothing. I think part of it, because they're in scrubs, like, we do see them in, like, clothes in the beginning and end.
It feels a little timeless.
Yeah, because
other than Burke's insult to George, everything else felt timeless.
Yeah, I just mean, like, how it looked. I'm like, yeah, that looks, like, there's probably a hospital that hasn't been updated since 2005. That looks like that.
I miss that set.
I do, too.
It feels more realistic to me.
Yeah.
Some of the scenes now, they're so fancy. And, like, I don't know that all hospitals are that fancy.
It is interesting to me how, like, you know, pilots, you don't know if they're going to get picked up. And so, like, how things shift later on. Like, something I was really caught up on was Meredith's tennis shoes. Uh-huh. She never wears tennis shoes like that.
What does she wear?
She wears Chucks.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and so it just felt like...
Which happens in, like, the next episode.
Yeah.
Someone has her same shoes.
Yeah, it just, like, it was a weird... choice of tennis shoe that she doesn't ever wear again.
Well, Burke did do a heart surgery, but wasn't he also doing
the appendectomy?
Right.
He said, I'm running the OR.
Which wouldn't that be like Chief or Bailey?
Right. Yeah.
Although Bailey is she an attending?
No, she's a resident.
Or she's a resident. Okay.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But I believe she does her own surgeries because at some
absolutely.
Point they do as residents.
She looked so like young too. Like,
yeah.
I remember, okay, because when I first watched this show, these characters were all older than me.
Yeah.
And it's very weird to be in a place now rewatching the pilot where I am the same age as Bailey,
yes,
as Meredith. Like, it's just, it's just a very different experience.
Mm-hmm. I was also really not surprised, but it's interesting watching the full episode and realizing how many times they take clips from it throughout all the seasons.
Yeah.
When they do flashbacks, there are so many flashbacks to the pilot,
especially that scene when Chief walks in,
yeah,
and turns the lights on in the OR and they're all in there. That scene is the first time they did do that. I remember being very excited.
Yes.
And then also I feel like the Meredith saying that's one of us down there, I feel like that
gets shows
used
up
again. I was also surprised by how much like staple things we learn in it. We learn Izzy's a model. We learn Christina's top of her class.
At Stanford.
At Stanford. George gets labeled 007.
Yeah. And he says he's really dependable. He says
he's dependable. He talks about living with his parents.
Yeah.
And like being, his parents like think he's this amazing, like they brag about him, which is so what happens later.
Yeah. Karev is an asshole and calls people, says like about nurses and is like, says that Meredith's hot. So we know like he's kind of the skis. And then.
Mare is a great doctor.
Mare is a great doctor. We find out. We also find out when she's talking to George that like her mom said, don't become a surgeon. And Abby and I were like, kind of like, why? And then she's like, because you don't have it in you to do it. So we know that she's very critical of Meredith.
Exactly. Which is very different than the Alice we see at the end of the episode, who's not lucid.
Yes.
In that moment. Also, we know that Chief knows Alice.
Right.
Because he says, you're the spitting image of your mother, which I'd like to like talk about that scene. It felt, now that we know the history of them, because before it didn't really hold weight,
mm-hmm,
him looking at her the first time. And not that there was any big acting moment, but I was looking at it with a heavier thing of like, holy shit, that's the first time he's seeing Meredith since she was little.
Right, right.
We learn Christina is competitive.
Yeah.
But also forgive, like she forgives. Like her friendship with Mare, I was not expecting that forgiveness in the first episode.
Yeah. Because I do remember them getting in like a bit of a tiff, but I didn't quite remember the term
shark is used.
Yeah. So maybe let's talk about the Meredith and Christina thing.
Okay.
And how, like, so there's this patient that comes in, Katie Bryce, who also shows up later on to help Meredith, her first patient. Mare doesn't know where she's going in the hospital at all. And ultimately, she's having seizures and they can't figure out what to do. So Derek pulls everyone
in.
pulls him in. And Mare is the one who goes to Christina and is like, let's work on this together. Mm-hmm. Or is it Christina?
Christina goes to Meredith.
I think.
And says there's a 50-50 chance one of us will get it. And Mare's like, I don't want it. Because she doesn't want to sleep or she doesn't want to work with Dr. Shepherd. I feel like their friendship is formed so, like, we just know them as friends when they're sitting by each other at the bookshelves. And Christina's trying to get out of Meredith why she won't work with Shepherd. And Meredith says, like, promise you won't make a face, say a reaction, like literally nothing. And she says she had sex with him. And Christina just goes, what about an aneurysm? Like, yeah. I feel like, and that is always the kind of friend Christina and like vice versa, where they just like, they're there for each other, but they don't push.
Yeah, well, it's like, they almost don't, we've talked about them before in this way. They're kind of setting up that they almost don't acknowledge what the other one says. They talk over, like, in multiple conversations are going on at once. And that is something that runs throughout the show. Mm-hmm. I find.
I also think too, so then Derek chooses Meredith
to be the one and she doesn't like assist in the surgery, but just there. Be there.
And Meredith totally freezes.
Yeah.
She flights.
it's fight, flight, or freeze.
Oh, she freezes.
Yeah.
And as he's like choosing her, because Christina's looking to her like,
you're supposed to tell him I'm
right. And she doesn't. And I think Meredith like learns a little something about herself in that moment too, that like she does want, like,
yeah,
she does want to be in that surgery, and he's hot. But I like the moment when she calls out Derek and says, like, did you just do this because we slept together? And he's like, no, you're her doctor. I know you figured out what this was. Like, you don't let the fact that we had sex, like, let you take your shot out.
Yeah.
And I like that he's honest there. And I do think he did not choose her just because of sex. I think it helped.
Yeah. Well, and I like that later on she asks him that, and he's like, she's like, did you just choose me because we slept together? And he's like, yes.
Oh, yeah.
And then she kind of was like, oh, my God. And he's like, no, of course not. You need to see, you saw this case through, and like, you're allowed to do this, which I think was also a good lesson too. Abby and I had mentioned that when she ends up freezing, she goes to Christina to apologize.
Right.
Which you thought was a pretty interesting scene.
Well, I thought, because Christina's mad at her for obviously not giving the surgery to her. But then I feel like I think Christina would have respected her more if she didn't grovel and try to apologize.
Yes.
And was, because she says to her, if you're going to be a shark, be a shark.
Right.
Don't like act like you're not. And I think that.
She also says some pretty jabby things about, like, some of us didn't sleep with our attending and have a, like, surgeon mother to get into a school.
Which Izzy's there when she says that. So Izzy must know about Derek then in that moment.
No, I don't think Izzy knows, but then found out through Christina.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh,
Christina says it in front of her. And so now she knows she slept with her boss.
Yes, yes.
I guess she doesn't quite know which one, but I think she can figure that out. So
now
two people know.
Yeah.
Three if you count Derek.
Yeah.
And so there was a really sweet moment when they're in the surgery and he lets her like look at the brain and they're making eyes and they're only acting with their eyes because they have masks on. And it was just very cute.
Yeah.
Also, Boki's there.
Boki is there from day one. And this was also over, 48 hour shift.
Yes.
So that was kind of fun to see because I don't know that they do that very much.
No, there's like no sense of time.
Yeah. So that was like fun to see like their shift.
Right.
Their first shift and what it looked like.
And Alex is not on the same resident. He's not with Bailey.
Right. Not yet.
Not yet. He's with someone else. So he's really not. We see him as a skis ball, but he is not mixing in with these people yet.
Right. George gets his nickname as 007 in the pilot.
Yeah, so he can't get someone in IV.
He can't stick the landing.
No, can't get someone in IV. Burke notices that. Burke decides to make him his guy, to choose him, because he says if you'd something to one, they'll all fall in line.
Yeah.
And Bailey's like, but George is a puppy. And so he chooses George to do the solo surgery, which I think he knew that he wasn't going to do a good job. Like, I feel like it was like a power move, kind of. And then he does fall apart. The cecum. He tears the cecum.
Yeah.
He uses the purse strings.
Yeah, something like that.
I don't know
that.
What those are.
Yeah. And then he says, some pretty crude thing about him being a pansy.
Yeah. He says, move your pansy ass, something, which I don't like that.
No.
Said it with too much conviction.
Mm-hmm.
Not a fan.
Not great. And then they start calling him 007.
License to kill.
License to kill.
It's really sad that he's wheeling around in that wheelchair, which makes him look,
I know.
And he's just wheeling around and he's like, they're calling me this, aren't they? And I love that Izzy's like stretching and Christy, and they're like, no.
Yeah.
Like, they're trying to make him feel better, but it doesn't work.
And then later on, he ends up fucking up and promising that someone was going to make it out of surgery
who
wasn't even really his patient.
No, I think he was like observing the case. Burke tells him, never promise. Like, are you God? I don't see God here with a scalpel. Also, Burke mentions God.
Yeah, we spiritual man.
Yep. And that made me sad. We see George outside. Well, he has to tell the wife that she's a widow. And then he sits outside when he's with Mare. That's what he's upset about. And he has tears in his eyes.
Never noticed that before. He looks like he...
He'll never promise another patient again, though. I promise you that. I promise you that.
You promise us that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we meet Bailey.
Yep. She's just hardcore.
Mm-hmm.
They call her the Nazi.
Yeah, I don't know if that would fly.
I don't think so either. I love that she's sleeping, but not really. And Izzy keeps having to like wake her up and she's just like, is he dying? No.
Yeah.
I love Izzy being scared to wake her up. I feel like that as a kid when you're scared to wake your parents up.
Oh, yeah. Like, I need to tell them. Like, I just puked.
Also, why did... I don't know.
Would you ever do that?
Oh, yeah. Wet my pants.
Or like when you would get sick, even as like a high schooler, if I had the stomach flu.
Oh, you'd have to wake your parents.
And I went and puked. I would just open my parents' door and be like, I just puked. And they'd be like, okay, you're 16. Like, go to bed. Like, I just need someone to know.
I need help.
Yeah.
Why is it waking up your parents? I feel like, I don't know if this is universal, but I feel like a lot of like moms be like, oh, like you startle them.
Yeah.
And that's also scary.
Yeah.
Like you just, hello. Like gentle. So she has to wake her up.
It's because they're all sleep deprived. And so when they're like finally able to, they're like, what's going on? What's wrong?
You're so right. That is what it is. Because dads, I feel like, huh? they aren't doing that as much.
Yeah.
At least mine isn't. Okay, so Bailey, yeah, we don't learn much about Bailey yet. She doesn't really interact with many of them.
No. Mare fucks up by, like, not running at a 911. But she ends up, like, getting a heartbeat back for Katie, and then she runs outside and pukes.
Yeah, which makes her human a little bit.
Yeah.
I was really impressed when... So if we talk about Alex quickly,
yeah,
we get glimpses of him basically, like... This nurse is trying to help with this patient and he is just shutting down everything she says. He says to Mare that he hates nurses. And when he eventually gets caught because he didn't catch that the patient had this, whatever it was, a post-op infection.
Pulmonary embolism.
Chief is there. And I love that teaching moment. He asks anyone in the room, does anyone know all these things? And Meredith... like fucking textbook gives the answer. And Alex looks so pissed. But I just like that moment because I think like Meredith didn't just become a good surgeon. Like she did, but she was really good. Like she studied and like, I don't know, she's very smart.
Yeah, they're setting her up for like, yeah, it's not just her mom that got her into med school. Like she has worked her way through and is a really good intern at this point. What did you think about the scene where Richard sees her?
I just thought, like, thinking about it with the gravity that it probably held was just made it more fun to watch.
Yeah.
Like, there wasn't a big, like, acting change or anything, but he does say, like, I would have recognized you anywhere. You're the spitting image of your mother. I have to imagine that was such a wild moment for him.
I love, too, that we don't know yet about Richard and Alice, which is, like, and Meredith doesn't know yet either.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. So that's, like... That's fun kind of in a rewatch.
Meanwhile, Maggie's out there probably just starting med school.
It's true. And then I don't know if there's much more, but the last scene.
Yes. Which she's wearing her Dartmouth shirt.
Mm-hmm. Which shows up in season 19.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
Which is when she's also studying Alzheimer's.
Uh-huh.
So it's very, maybe the show is a little bit better at putting things together. But she goes to see her mom, who is not lucid. And it was just really sweet when her mom says, I think I used to be a doctor. And she's like, you were a mom. You were a surgeon. I don't know. It's just sad. Also, like, this isn't Angry Alice yet, because Angry Alice is very scary.
Yeah. I think you're right, though, about there are so many medical shows, but then there was this like kind of big reveal, this big because
everyone knows who Ellis Gray is.
Right. And, you know, I imagine in the pilot episode, if you watch this and then at the end you find out Ellis has Alzheimer's, like that was a big shock. Oh, my God.
Right.
It's not to us now, but I imagine we're like, we hear about this great surgeon who yes. her mom is, and then she's in a care home.
Right. And before even the rest of them find out, they continue to talk about her like she's this legend. And it's because of her Mare probably got in, when meanwhile, she's like unable to care for, like she probably yeah. did not do anything to help Meredith get in.
Yes.
I wonder the timeline of like how long ago that her symptoms started.
Yeah.
I'm sure we probably learn it. But like Chief doesn't know either.
I know.
There's just a lot.
I also love that she's telling her mom, like, I've decided to keep the house. I'll have to get some roommates so we know.
Setting it up.
Yeah. That
though. She said it just feels like home.
Yeah.
It's really also, I just think about the episode when Ellis does come into the hospital.
Yeah.
And like Meredith's world is like,
and she's screaming shattered. At her. She's lucid.
Is yeah. that when she's breathing into a bag, Meredith? Is that the episode that she breathes into a bag?
I don't think so.
Okay. I don't. It has something to do with Ellis, though. I feel like maybe not.
I don't know.
But that is just gut wrenching.
Yeah.
The show is good.
It is. And I'm really like, I'm happy to rewatch the pilot. Do you want to hear notes and trivia?
Yeah. Are there some good ones?
Yeah. We know it. The song title originated by, well, let's see if you know, Hard Day's Night.
Beatles?
Yeah. Okay. It scored 16.25 million viewers.
That does not happen anymore.
No. Like, we think about season 19. What is it like?
Three?
Yeah.
Also, that's live viewers.
Yeah.
That's not like Game of Thrones, you know, we'll get however million, which not even close to that, I don't think. But that's not live. That's streaming.
Yeah.
This is 16 million people sat down at their television.
Yeah.
And pressed play.
That is wild.
I'm very curious what the ratings are for like later episodes, because I bet that's not the highest.
No, I bet it has not.
But that's insane.
Yeah.
You guys, we were all watching live TV. There was no streaming. This was your only, you either watched a DVD or you watched what was on TV.
Yeah.
Wow. Were we more united back then because we were all watching the same television? Thing.
Yeah. The part of the episode where Meredith urges Derek to leave the house after their one night stand almost didn't happen, as the ABC executives at the time found that nobody would care about a woman who has casual sex like that. In order to convince them to allow the scene, Betsy Beers revealed that she had sex with a man the night before a new job.
Wow.
That's wild.
That is a sign of the times.
That's incredible. Wow.
I think about
that scene is so important.
Yeah. I think about now there's like literally a show called Sex Lives of College Girls.
Yeah,
like
wow.
We've come so far.
Yeah, but that was also not, that's not network television.
Women, we can have casual sex now. Oh,
we
did you know?
Hey, fancy that.
I never did it. maybe in my 50s.
I mean, I like did it, but was I actually okay? Probably not. Justin Chambers was not originally in the pilot.
Right.
Scenes in which he appears were digitally altered or refilmed.
Whoa.
That's wild.
That makes sense.
Okay. That makes
so far removed.
Yeah. That makes a lot more sense.
So they must have had him come back in. They filmed, because really it's just Meredith and there is one scene with George.
Yep. Okay. Chief Weber's speech to the incoming intern states that their residency will be for 7 years, despite their residency finishing at the end of their fifth year. He may have included their possible fellowship, which for most specialties means another 2 years of training or possible research years. His speech was then amended to 5 years and time stops. Wow. But characters carry on quoting 7 years when they refer to the speech and as seen in Life on Mars. That's interesting. The scene on the helipad was filmed on the Como or KOMO building, someone's going to yell from Seattle, located in Seattle in the direct vicinity of the Space Needle for
cool.
pictures behind the scenes go.
That's yeah. cool. Way more realistic than that yeah. one with Owen Hunt.
The episode was submitted for Peter Horton to be nominated for Outstanding Director for a Drama Series at the 57th Emmy Awards.
Wow. We're in like the 70-something.
Yeah. The first scene filmed for the episode and the series was the new interns leaving the locker room to meet their new resident. It was the first time the actors playing the interns saw Chandra Wilson themselves.
Whoa.
That's really cool. Shooting for the episode began a year prior, March 17, 2004. It's also the first time in the series that Derek says the phrase, "It's a beautiful day or night to save lives." He says this before operating on Katie Bryce.
That's why I said night in the yeah. early, if you didn't understand.
Oh, that's so great.
Wow, those are great notes.
Yeah. So who would you give the Catherine Fox Award to in this episode? I feel like you have to give it to Meredith.
Yeah, Meredith, she
yeah.
had sex with Derek.
Yeah.
She found a best friend.
They figured out the aneurysm thing.
Yeah.
She got to be in the surgery.
Great day for her.
She's keeping the house. Yeah, all of those things. I think that makes the most sense.
Okay, back when we watched this the first time, we rated it on a scale
of like five.
Are we going to go to our 10 scale?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Before we do, can I just name all the songs?
Oh, yeah, please.
Portions for Foxes, Rilo Kiley. Super Cool, Bang Sugar Bang. Dance, the OAOTs?
No, I don't know.
Ready to Rise, Vaughn Penn, Life is Short, Butterfly, is it Boucher? Boucher?
I don't know. I can't see.
Into the Fire, 13
Into
Francis.
The Fire. Ugh.
That's the one, right? That's the...
Well, there's another Into the Fire that is like a... I listened to it. It's way more... I don't remember it being in this episode. Or no, yeah, it is the Come Out.
Yeah.
Come Out. Yeah. Oh, that song is good.
Yeah. I feel like those were a lot of like classic songs that show up maybe again.
Oh, yeah. And like the 200, 300, yeah. They always reuse them. There was no Christina Burke moment yet.
No. I think that comes
later.
Uh-huh.
I wonder if when they filmed it without Justin Chambers, did they feel like the characters were too flat and there needed to be like a villain? Because,
maybe.
Because George is not a villain. Izzy's not a villain. Christina and Mare are like, there's no bad guy.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm really glad they added him. Good God.
Yeah. To add a little drama. But then he's actually not a bad guy, which makes it so great. Yeah. But,
I mean, it took seasons, I feel like, for him to get like a full redemption story.
But I mean, really, he was with Izzy in season 2.
Yeah, that's true. Well, he picks her up. Yeah, he's with her. Then she's with Denny.
Yeah.
But like, I think his redemption begins in the end of season 2. Like, he's still kind of skeezy. Sleeps with Olivia. He like,
yeah, yeah.
I'm not saying he's a bad guy. Because
that's what Jesus would fucking do.
Yeah. I just feel like I like that his redemption didn't happen so quick. I guess is my point.
Yeah,
and then he still fucks up.
Yeah,
beats DeLuca up.
Yeah, I mean he's a very flawed character.
Which I love. I miss him so much.
I miss him too.
I want him to do an interview somewhere. Like,
I
talk
know.
About it.
Speaking of interviews, dude, I am on fucking Fleetwood Mac TikTok with Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham, and like, you know that one where they like, it's all over TikTok.
No, I'm not about getting any of this.
You haven't Silver Springs. You haven't.
Nope. I get nothing Fleetwood Mac. Now I'm going to because we're speaking it.
I'll show it to you afterwards. Okay. But it's like, it's just, it's a lot. And like, I then went down a rabbit hole because like, they broke up while they were recording Rumors. And so like, their like huge album, they were in the process of breaking up.
Ugh.
And they like joined the band when they were breaking up. And then we're in a band together for years and years and years and years and years. And then they just had this like
tension.
And then there was this one, you love a montage video where that song was playing, like the TikTok song, you know? And it was like all of these things of them on stage where he'd like kiss her forehead or they'd like dance together.
I'm
like,
not on this.
Oh, I lay in bed and feel deep fucking feelings about it. And I'm like, I gotta get this out of my head.
You're like on that, but then you're also on weird shit that you send me.
Oh, yeah.
I sent you some weird ones.
Only send you weird shit because I can't bear it alone.
I was going to say, if I come across something that I can't simply, I need someone else to know that I've seen it. That's,
and I don't even need you to respond, but I know you'll be like.
Sometimes I respond.
Yeah, but sometimes you don't. And that's okay.
But you don't respond always to me. Like, we view it and we move.
Yeah, we move on. When they're really weird, you're like, what the fuck is going on over there?
I watch the ones you send me with Jake because. We watch the ones we send each other.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, what did Bree send me?
Yeah.
And then we do it together.
So what would you rate this on a 10 scalpel scale? If you want me to go first, I will. Because you always go first.
I don't think I can do a 10 because I think there are other episodes that are a 10 for me. But I think I'm going to be generous and say this is a 9 out of 10.
I was going to give it a 9 out of 10.
Yeah, like it's a great show.
And I think we probably did not rate it that high. But for like thinking of it as a pilot too, it's a solid ass pilot episode.
So good.
Yeah. Like if I watched this on network TV at back in the day, I would be like, yeah, I'm going to watch the next
episode.
I'm going
to keep going.
Yeah, this is really interesting.
Such iconic actors too.
Yeah, it was. I really enjoyed it.
I really hope Ellen Pompeo finds success and remembers to act again.
Yeah. There were a couple scenes where I was like, oh, she's not doing great here.
Yeah, like she is still who she is.
Yeah. But it's just so interesting to see like baby Meredith.
Yeah.
And who she was.
I wish that Christina had been the leading lady.
The show would have ended a long ass time ago.
It probably would have ended really well.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for listening. If you like this and you want us to do other episodes, or again, remember the bonus episode for our $5 and up patrons is us commentating live. And we talk about different things than what we just said.
Yes.
Please nominate some episodes. Write them in the Facebook group. Send us an Instagram message.
Or an email.
Yep.
Beyondcallroom@gmail.com.
We would love to do this again. This
was fun. It was really fun. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a patron or just a listener, whatever, supporting us. And time of death is 2036.
Beep.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.